This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I noticed I said that in a very dramatic way. With Gene and Kurt, sounds like I'm announcing some kind of radio drama, doesn't it?
Well, the story's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, before we do that, let me tell you about After the Paracast. And we're going to have some fascinating guests coming up in the future. After the Paracast is not just two old people talking shop. It can be pretty fascinating. It can be pretty different. Part of the Paracast Plus. We also give you the ad-free version of this radio show, which is why we were mentioning the ads on the previous segment. We give you a different version without the ads, better quality audio. And it's all for prices starting at just $1.49 a week. And we're expecting those books from Ryan Sprague for the lifetime subscriptions for the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com for more plus.theparacast.com. Kurt, go ahead.
So you left off with the approach of the truck driver, and it sounded like he wasn't reacting to the UFOs. So what happened next?
The windows, they seem to be blinking on and off in a pattern. And like there were seven windows, and the first three would blink on and off. Then all seven would blink on and off. And then the four back ones, and then repeat that pattern. And that was sort of interesting, too. And we were both looking to see if we could see pilots or anything inside. And it was just like the walls were glowing. It was just really white. And I thought it would hurt anybody's eyes if they were inside. It was so bright and white. But the truck driver came over like he was just the normal truck driver going to check on us or something. And at first I thought, oh, this is great because I have another witness. But I didn't say UFO to him or anything like that. But he asked what we were looking at, and I pointed it to it. And he rotated around just 180 degrees from where he was, pointed at about the same altitude, pointed his head at about that altitude, and said he didn't see anything. And then he rotated right back around and looked at me. And at this time, I suspected that he's pretty weird. But then he did the same thing again. He asked me, what are you looking at? And I again pointed. And he again rotated right around to the exact opposite position, pointed his head about the same altitude, and said he didn't see anything. And then he rotated right back around, looked at me. Needless to say, I was nervous. And then he pointed at his head like the cuckoo sign and went back to his truck. But he didn't leave. He just stayed there and kept watching us through his rearview window. Well, by that time, I couldn't see the separate windows of the object. I think it was so far away, they were all merged. And my sister said that around the time I was talking to him, that she saw the object, it was one place and it was someplace else. And I didn't realize that. I just thought that maybe I'd talked to him a while and gotten farther away. But I was I had that Polaroid and it was high speed film. And I was afraid of getting lens flares or something from the freeway lights. And there was a hill on the other side with some trees. And so I was going to run up the hill, and my sister objected and said, don't do that, or she'll come with me. And I said no, because I wanted to protect the car from the truck driver in case he tried to get in our car. We argued for a while, and finally I ran up the hill. And I took pictures of the object, and I was very, very careful. I looked at what I was seeing and aimed the camera at just what I was looking and trying to get blinks. And I got one picture. It was dark, and it was handheld and everything. And I didn't know what I had until I got back down to the car and looked. You had the Polaroids takes a while, and I had to pull the separate prints out, and then you had to rip them off the backing. Then you had to coat them with a preservative. And so I got back, looked at them as best as I could with a kind of dim car light, and coated them. And later I analyzed the, I was working as a photo analyst, as a photo interpreter. Later I analyzed what I had in the photograph, which turned out really weird too. But anyway, then the object went, it was going toward, it had been going toward the airport, and it got over the airport, and it began to circle the airport. And it was a very odd circle because it would start to the south and go north. It would blink like the south was 180. It might blink from 160 to 140 or something, then from 60 to 30. It would turn its lights on, turn them off, turn them back on. And then when it was exactly north, it would make a semicircle of the south. It was so fast you couldn't even see it. I mean, I just remembered there was a, it went. And it kept circling like that. And, you know, we were both looking at it. We were looking at planes. And while I was over the airport, the planes seemed to be flying along way up. They weren't landing or anything. And obviously, if I'd been a UFO investigator, I would have investigated that. But I wasn't very aware of UFOs. I didn't tie in the lights in the car or anything else. I just didn't know what was going on. And so, anyway, we didn't know what was going on. And we didn't know where the UFO would, where the object would go. But for some reason, I thought that it was going to turn around and go the opposite direction. And so I wanted to turn my car around at wherever I could find an intersection on the freeway. And so I drove out. And as I drove onto the freeway, the truck driver followed me, and he began to chase. And I knew he was chasing me because if I switched lanes or slowed down or speeded up, he did the same thing. His headlights were kind of high compared to a car's. He was beaming them right in my rearview mirror, and I was blinded. And I slowed down, speeded up, and changed lanes and realized he was chasing me.
So this sounds like X-Files or something.
Well, it was pretty scary.
It's got to be scary, I'll tell you, yeah. Where did this end up, this chase?
Where did it end up was I finally was on the left-hand side, and I decided to very quickly get off at an intersection, even though if somebody was coming from the right-hand side faster, they would have had an accident. My sister couldn't see behind me, and neither could I, and so I swerved off the road. And we both survived, and I went back. And the object was still circling, but after a while it took off in the opposite direction. So we continued following it back to the outer belt around Boston and started following it there. It was going northwest, and the road seemed to be either north or west, and so I kept going on different roads to try to follow it. And finally it was on this really deserted road. It was just like a cart track. It was gravel, had holes all over it, and the houses were so far apart you couldn't even see them. And it was probably only going about 40 miles an hour, but I couldn't keep up with it. And I was tearing the car up, and so I went back home. And so, anyway, we went back to New Jersey then. And I didn't know anything about missing time or anything. But later, Bud Hopkins had asked me to make a timeline and things. And there was a possibility that we had missing time, although we weren't conscious of it. And then some other weird things happened. So, should I describe the photograph?
Without doubt. Go ahead, please.
Okay. The photograph didn't turn out like I thought it would because I was watching one light go and blink on and off. And I got two blinks. And it should have just been a smooth streak across the film, but it wasn't undulating.
You know what? Let's do our break here, and let's continue with this. Let's talk about that photograph and more. I want to get into some of the other things that you talk about in the book because it covers a wide range. We've got Kurt Collins as our guest co-host. With Gene Steinberg and Dr. Irina Scott, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully-cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Irina, let's continue with that right now, describing that photo.
Okay. Object looked like it was undulating, but it actually wasn't because it was just a handheld picture. But what was really interesting was, is that I saw one light, and the photograph showed two traces instead of one. You could tell that because of the undulation. And one of them looked like the light I was seeing because it abruptly turned on and off and everything. The other light was invisible to the eye, which was pretty weird because I hadn't been able to see it. And it came on gradually and came off gradually. And it, through the undulation, you could see it was the same as the, going the same as the one you could see, but it didn't have the same pattern. And so anyway, I concluded that this is a, was invisible. And I called the Polaroid company to find out about it. And they said you could see that the Polaroid camera will photograph light from like 400 nanometers to whatever. But the lowest the eye can go is like 230 nanometers or something. I forget exactly what. But anyway, this, we had seen a light that wasn't, I mean, the camera had photographed a light that wasn't there. I mean, you know, you couldn't see visually. And so the light that was invisible appeared to have come on gradually, reached a brighter point, and then gone off gradually. And it didn't come on and off at the same time the other one did when it was blinking. And so I thought it was maybe on a light on a rheostat, but it could have been a something like a laser, too, changing frequencies. And so I hypothesized that maybe this is a laser and that maybe UFOs have lighting that is different from, that is invisible to people. And that would explain a lot about UFOs because they could create holograms or volumetric displays or all kinds of things with lasers and make you see things. And I speculated on that because I've written scientific papers and I'll just speculate. But I don't know. And then later, when I got back to Washington, D.C., I had a poltergeist experience. And that was very weird, too. And so, anyway, I recorded them all. And I had high security clearances, and I was working on a PhD-level job, so there wasn't anything wrong with my brain. And my sister saw the same thing. And so we just reported it, and that's what happened.
Well, that's interesting when in your career that it happened, because a lot of times people would tell stories like this and it would be like something like when they're 18 years old before they had an education. But you were much further along in your career and education than that. And you said that at that time you didn't know anything about UFOs. So I'm guessing this was a turning point that, that fired your interest. And so how did you proceed from there? And did you contact UFO investigators? What did you do?
I didn't do anything because I was working for the DIA in a very high security clearance. And I thought, if I say I saw a UFO, well, I could lose my job for being crazy. But I wrote everything down. I didn't know, you know, if the lights in the car or anything else had anything to do with UFOs at that time. But I wrote, like, second by second, because I intended to report it when I could. And it was many years later. We didn't see each other for 5 more years. And then we didn't discuss it much because I thought, we'll report this sometime and we should have independent reports. So we didn't say too much. It was 1984 before we reported it. And so it was investigated by a number of people like Bud Hopkins and Hynek and Leonard Stringfield, and it's been looked at now recently by Kathleen Marden and a bunch of people who don't have any idea what we were seeing or what was happening.
With the investigations, were you able to find out any of the reports at the same time and place that may have shown other people had experiences?
But what I found when I finally started investigating that was I found that there was a book written by Walter Webb called The Buffledge Report or something. And it turned out that they had, that these witnesses for that, he wrote the book later than I wrote this, and the sighting was later. And I didn't find out about the book for a long time later after that. But their sighting was about 3 weeks after ours. It was about 160 miles away. It was not too far away. And he had made a big effort to find other sightings. And, of course, I hadn't reported my sighting any place, so he wouldn't have been able to find it. But there was a number of similarities between what they reported and what we saw. And it sort of made me understand my sighting a little more because, for one thing, they described this cigar-shaped object that emitted these little balls, and they were rotating balls of light that changed colors. And that's what I'd seen. And I, you know, I had no idea what it was or what theirs was, but there was something similar to somebody seen something like it. And he said that the people were abducted and went through this strange abduction. And their abduction started with one of these balls of light shining a light on the people before they were abducted. Well, we had lights. I had that green light when I went by the little ball that lit up the car. And then my sister said that the object had shined a light on us from that. And anyway, I wrote another article about that because there were several other sightings that had some resemblance to what we saw. That were, you know, in that same area. The Buffalo Ledge one was in, Lodge one was in pretty close to us, but there was, and close in time and space both, there was a town of Sharon that we were right beside on the freeway, and they had reported a object that was several years before ours, but they had drawn it with windows and everything just like we saw. And with a light on one end and a light on the other end, a little light on both ends, and also reported these bowls that were rotating, looked like they were made out of glass and shining different lights. So that was three instances where he found something similar. And I went through, and there were a lot of other similarities, too. And another one of the similarities was the Betty and Barney Hill case. And that was, they saw an object with windows. And Kathleen Martin had just very recently published their original drawings.
You know what? Let's pick up on this in our next segment with Dr. Irina Scott, Jean, and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105. For a recorded message.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The president's former campaign chairman has spent his first night in jail. Paul Manafort's bail was revoked after the Russia probe special counsel charged him with witness tampering. In a tweet, the president caused the decision to revoke Manafort's bail a tough sentence. In an earlier exchange with reporters, the president said the special counsel's focus on Manafort has been unfair.
I mean, I look at some of them where they go back 12 years. Like, Manafort has nothing to do with our campaign.
Manafort chaired the campaign over a series of pivotal months in the summer of 2016. He was let go after reports surfaced of his lobbying for pro-Russian forces in Ukraine. He currently faces dozens of charges, including financial fraud, money laundering, and false statements. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So here, as you describe the connection with Kathleen and these experiences, do you think that you were abducted?
I don't know, because like Bud Hopkins tried to hypnotize me, and I tried with several other people. And I don't even very, very slightly go into a trance. My sister and I don't remember any abductions. According to other people, we can be abducted and not know. We might have had missing time, but I don't know how you approach it because there's no memory of an abduction or anything that I know of.
You see, I have a kind of a crazy theory, which I've mentioned. I don't want to just sell my own theories because they've heard them, the audience. And that is here is that if E.T. is abducting us and they didn't want us to remember it, we would not remember it, and certainly hypnotic regression wouldn't recall it. It would simply be hidden. Mm-hmm. But if we remember something, there's a reason. Or maybe that's the screen memory, not the owl or something or the eyes, but the experience is shielding us from something else that happened. Just a thought.
I speculated on that because with this Boston sighting, well, 2 days later, before I got up and went to my job, which I was pretty nervous about then, that I had this poltergeist experience too, like something in my room. And with me going to sleep, I was terrified of different things. And I speculate in the book that maybe these are components of one thing, the UFO and the poltergeist, and maybe they're connected some way, but I don't know how or why or anything like that. But I just thought that when they're that close in time and they're both weird, that maybe something more complicated than either one was going on, and that they were just components or ways to experience whatever was happening. So I speculated on the same thing you said.
That's interesting, because sometimes people have experiences, a series of experiences, or there's a part of an experience that they feel is too weird to share, and sometimes it is shared, and the investigator thinks it's too weird to publish, and it gets left out. So, you know, it's good that you documented everything, and not that doesn't mean we can necessarily ever make sense of it, but, you know, it's good to have that recorded. And as far as this poltergeist, though, was this the typical thing of a like an invisible intruder moving things around?
Well, that day I was supposed to take the co-workers that had gone up to New York with me. I was supposed to take them back, and I waited for a long time, and they didn't show up. The next day they were really mad at me and said they couldn't get a hold of me. Well, they had talked to my sister, and I'd taken pictures of them, and they'd been by the dorm. I have no idea why they couldn't get a hold of them. But that night, before I went to sleep, I started hearing like noises like somebody was walking in my room. And I would try to, if they were close, I'd try to grab it or go to the same place, and it would just disappear. Then my alarm went off, and I thought it was morning. I thought I would, you know, get ready for work, and I started. And I realized it was dark, and it was like 1:30. And I was terrified, but I went to sleep. And then the alarm went off at 2:30, 3:30, and each time I went back to sleep. And I can't imagine that I was turning the alarm on, because I'd have to turn a 100-watt light on. And then the knob on the alarm was broken off, and I usually use pliers to turn it. And I kept turning it back very approximately to the right time. But it was set right on 1:30, 2:30, and 3:30. And so that was something pretty weird. And then I was scared to death that I'd just gone insane, because I didn't know much about poltergeists or UFOs or anything else. And I had security clearances, and I was afraid I was going to get, if I was insane, I was going to go to work and get fired. And so I was trying to figure out how to disguise insanity at work and things like that.
You know what occurs to me when you talk about that concern, certainly concerns about work if you're having weird things happen to you? Have you had a chance to hear any stories from any of your coworkers over the years who had similar experiences?
I of course, didn't go in and mention that I'd seen a UFO, but I did mention that I just brought up the subject of UFOs for some reason. And our work was, we were looking over an area of the Earth. We were looking down from satellites, and we were supposed to identify any flying object in the area. So this could have been something that related to UFOs. And the people I worked with, I expect them to laugh at me if I brought up the subject, but they said that before I had gone into the section, which wasn't very long before the sighting, that they had reported a UFO to their higher-ups on the photography, and that they got this really weird reaction from the higher-ups of saying they didn't see it. And it was obvious, very obvious, it was on the photography, because it was on two different missions. And there's no way, the higher-ups said it was a spot on the film. There's no way it could have been a spot on the film. So they had, you know, sort of experience too, not like this, but trying to report a UFO when we were supposedly working on identifying all the airplanes or aircraft in a particular area. So that was weird. I further investigated the green light in the car, because as I was driving toward and seeing this small thing on the ground, the inside of the car lit up in green, and I couldn't understand that because I didn't see a beam shining into the car. There were other cars. It seems like I would have noticed if the inside of the other cars turned green, and so I thought there was something maybe specific about the inside of our car turning green. But I couldn't figure out any reason why it turned green, because I couldn't see any green lights. And I asked a physics professor about that, and he gave me a very generalized answer about that the metal of the car might be affected by an electrical discharge. He mentioned St. Elmo's fire, and an electric discharge might excite oxygen atoms that gives rise to a green light when they is the electrons change orbit. And so I did some research on that. And the green color would be due to ionized oxygen. It's been reported in Northern Lights and different things like that. And it's from a 557.7 nanometer emission from neutral oxygen. And so I looked at what that emission looked like, and it looked like the same color I saw. And so there might have been some kind of a laser or something turned on the car that I couldn't see that might have been electrical some way and caused the inside of the car to light up in green. But I couldn't figure out too much else. But that, just like from the photograph, it looked like there was another light on the object. And when we went, I went by the object on the ground twice, and both times the inside of the car lit up in green. Then the very last time when I was coming back from Boston, there was no object on the ground. We couldn't see the object in the sky, and the light in the inside of the car didn't turn in green. So I thought maybe this had something to do with a laser, too, or, you know, that we were experiencing some kind of a force instead of a light shining in the car. And I had done some research on that to look and see if there was anything in common. And there's been a number of sightings where that associate UFOs with a green light.
Let's do the green light thing and give a green light in our next segment. That's a bad segue. More to come with Irina, Jean, and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly?
Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun. You'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
The ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Irina Scott is very gracious. You know why? She didn't say anything about my green light pun.
I liked them.
It did.
Is that okay?
We allow that.
Don't encourage him. No, don't encourage him.
Oh.
You see how even-handed I am. He can talk about me, and I still allow him on the show because he's nice. I bring it out of him. Irina, you were talking about the green thing. Let's go on.
Okay. I was looking for other instances of green lights because I was mystified by this green light. And in one case had been the Coyne helicopter sighting in 1973, over Ohio. Do you remember anything about that?
That's a famous one. A lot of people need a brief recap, though.
This is a real good sighting. It was investigated by a lot of people. These helicopter pilots were flying north. I think they were going to Cleveland, and they saw an object as they were flying north, and they didn't think too much about it. But then the object came real close to them, and like it was right over top of them, their cockpit turned green on the inside. They had this event where they were almost, the thing had come toward them and they crash dived to not get into a collision. But then they discovered later that the helicopter somehow rose in altitude a whole lot while the thing was above them. What they reported was it shined a green light into their cockpit. And they had a lot of things that kind of were unusual, such as having a compass spin and the helicopter went up if they didn't realize it. And they had some electrical effects too. And while the green light was shining on them, and also there were people on the ground that watched this. And they said the whole area around the ground lit up in green when the object shone the green light down. So it must have been a very powerful light that it not only lit up the inside of the helicopter, but it also lit up the ground and fairly brightly. And then it went on, and they felt a bump when it left and everything. And that's a very well-known UFO sighting because it was military, four people in a helicopter, and they had been in radio contact. But while the object was there, they couldn't use their radio. And so I was interested in the green light. I asked a electrician about the compass, and he said that back in those days, he had a brother that flew an airplane, and he said you could get the compass to spin if you just went over high tension wires or anything else. So I didn't know if that was anything too unusual or had anything to do with the green light. But another interesting thing was that the CIA, Surgeon General's Office, contacted Mr. Coyne, the pilot, and asked him if he had any weird dreams. And he did have some. And then they asked another crew member. And he had weird dreams, too. And that was like they were investigating an abduction. And this poor event just happened in just a few seconds. I mean, they saw the object, and they thought it had windows, and the green light shone down. But it was like the military was investigating them as if they thought there was some kind of an abduction. And that was kind of interesting. And also, the green light was kind of like a tractor beam because suddenly their helicopter rose, shot up toward the object, and they didn't even know it. And so I wondered about that and about abduction, because we had a green light that I don't know. And there were a number of cases of green lights. Another one was a Soviet Aeroflot airliner flying over Minsk. And the UFO shot a, this is a famous sighting too. The UFO shot a blob-like body that cast a greenish tint over the landscape. There's another message there. And they projected one of the beams into the cabin of the airplane. And the people saw different colors and fiery zigzags. And then the beams that they were shining changed shape to look like the plane. And again, I wondered, in that case, could that have been done by laser to make either a hologram or a volumetric display image? And then another one was this, there was a policeman in, I think it was Nebraska, that reported an abduction. And in this case, he was driving along. He saw a UFO. And then he went back to his station and checked the time.
This sounds like the Herb Schirmer case.
Well, that's, I was trying to think of his name. I'm sorry. Yeah, that one. And checked his time and discovered he had missing time. And then Leo Sprinkle hypnotized him, and he reported an abduction where the UFO had shined a green light on him, and it seemed to be sort of a tractor beam again that pulled his car, and then he got out and was inside the UFO. And one thing interesting he reported was that there were these little UFOs inside the big UFO. And so anyway, that I found other places where mysterious green lights had appeared, and I thought it was kind of interesting that it might relate to possibly lasers or something, which I thought I had might have photographed.
And you discuss this aspect in your new book.
Uh-huh.
We had a question from a listener about the book, and it was kind of a challenging one, but it, you know, so far you've mainly talked about your experiences, but a former member, Pig Farmer, asks, I've been disappointed by UFO paranormal books in the past, and very often they're just collections of the same old stories and debate over the debate over them rehashed to some degree. What is different about your book, and why would it interest me? So he's got a kind of a challenging question for you. So it sounds like one aspect of it is that you're dealing with you have a scientific background, and there's your personal experiences. So what else does he need to know about your book?
Well, the main thing that's used to invalidate the whole UFO phenomena is when they say scientists don't see UFOs, and there's no the peer-reviewed scientific literature doesn't encompass UFO reports. Well, in this case, I tried to invalidate that whole idea because scientists do see UFOs, and I mentioned a number of instances. For instance, they've given, they studied, made surveys, and like Dr. Hynek made a survey of the American Astronomical Society, and he said, yes, astronomers see UFOs, and Peter Sturrock made a similar survey, and a Russian investigator made a big survey and said that astronomers see more, a lot more UFOs than regular people, and they hypothesized this is because they're looking at the stars. But the thing is, they don't admit it, so nobody. People think, oh, not scientists never see UFOs. And so I was reporting mine, that I have a scientific background and was a professor in different things and PhD. And so I thought, you know, reporting it was something that scientists ought to do. Also, another reason they attack UFOs is to say that there's no UFO reports in the peer-reviewed scientific literature.
We got more to come. We'll clarify all that, too, in our next segment with Dr. Irina Scott. And Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.